In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Yes, the Mighty Manfred with you here in Little Steven's Underground Garage as we get your coolest conversations podcast underway. Remember to follow and subscribe, rate and review. Joining me will be Ryan Hamilton of Ryan Hamilton and the Harlequin Ghosts. They've got a new single out now on Wicked Cool Records, a proper 7-inch single on red vinyl. A-side is a recent coolest song in the world called Can I Get an Amen? So let's hear some of that now, and then I'll be back with Ryan for today's Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
I don't need to be forgiven. God knows I can't be saved. I am who I've become because of those mistakes I've made. I might fall a little further and I might stray a bit too far. Sometimes I need my medicine. When did this get so hard? Around and round we go. Where it stops, nobody knows. Can you feel that spirit moving through?
It's Coolest Conversations time, and this is the Mighty Manfred. My guest today, Ryan Hamilton of Ryan Hamilton and the Harlequin Ghosts. How are you, Ryan?
I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You know, we've spoken a number of times on our Coolest Conversations going back a few years now, several years. You live, think about half an hour or so outside of Fort Worth in Sanctuary, Texas. Can you remind us, is that where you grew up?
I grew up close to kind of where I live. So after moving and living all over, kind of came back home-ish. But yeah, just outside of Fort Worth is a fair description.
Well, the new single, our coolest song of the world this week, Can I Get an Amen?, invokes spirituality, specific phrases like the song's title tied to Christianity. How religious was your upbringing?
It was very religious. So I grew up in a uber like conservative Church of Christ. I went to church 3 times a week. Even when I went to college, I went to Abilene Christian University, which is also a conservative Christian university. So even though, excuse me, I've kind of grown out of it, there was no escaping that being part of my childhood. And I know my parents were just trying to instill a sense of morality and good, and, you know, just like their parents and their grandparents and, you know, the family had done for a very long time. But it was interesting, to say the least, to grow up that way and then get older and look back on it and go, okay, some of that was a little bit strange.
Do you have any sympathy with the likes of like Little Richard or Jerry Lee Lewis, who, you know, I think Jerry Lee may have even gone to a Bible college for a bit, but, you know, they have these moments of the excess and then they find redemption back with the church, and then they wind up going through these cycles of having a very difficult time dealing with squaring the circle between what their creative and artistic impulses are and, you know, what their background was. There's a great studio conversation chatter between Sam Phillips and Jerry Lee, where Jerry Lee is kind of falling apart in the studio and saying, you know, this is all the set of music, I'm doing the devil's work, you know, why am I doing this? And Sam Phillips trying to talk him through that. How do you relate these different aspects of your personality and your upbringing?
Yeah, so I think something that kind of carries through all of kind of what you're describing is guilt, because when you grow up in the church in the South, in America, there it's very heavy-handed with guilt. And that carries on to me, and I think those other artists too, like now. So when I do something that I know the church would frown upon, you know, even if it's just getting drunk or whatever, which, you know, I don't think is necessarily wrong, especially if you're in the safety of your own home and you're not driving and, you know, things like that. But there's this heavy guilt that sits with you, and I think it is a part of you because you grow up the way that you do in the South, in the church, and it's a struggle, and it's so ingrained in me just as a person. This song, you know, talks about it, and I've actually talked about it quite a bit. There's another song called This Is the Sound, and there's a line in that song that it references the old gospel song about the circle remaining unbroken. In that song, when I say break the circle, I'm saying, you know, break up that idea. And this song is similar because it is a struggle. It's a real struggle. You feel it. You feel that, like, I'm living this lifestyle that, and I know I'm a good person, but there is a lot of guilt that comes with it.
And so what specifically, for lack of a better phrase, called you to the altar to write, Can I Get an Amen?
Well, I mean, the real honest answer is that my wife left, so my marriage ended, and you're left kind of holding the bag going, what happened? You know, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm living this life, doing my best, trying to be a good person and trying to do the right thing. And, you know, I have this life of music that I love, and I get to travel the world and play music. And, you know, we're on this label and have the support of people like, you know, yourself. And there's all this good. And it's like, I'm doing all of this that I feel like is right. And it's just life, you know, but things keep going wrong on a personal level. And that's where this song came from. And it's that first line, I don't need to be forgiven. You know, God knows I can't be saved. I didn't do anything wrong, you know, and my marriage still ended. I give everything to music, and I'm still not, you know, playing stadiums. But the trick is to, you know, to kind of reference the church again, I guess, but to count your blessings. And I'm learning, I really am learning to see all the good in my life amidst the really difficult. And this song was just kind of, I guess, birthed out of that kind of a struggle.
When and where did you record Can I Get an Amen?
We recorded it in England. This, a lot of times, because my band is from the UK,
right,
I'll record some tracks in Texas. I think the only track that was recorded in Texas was the acoustic guitar, only because we ended up replacing it. Everything else was recorded at Dave Draper's Tower Studios in Pershore in the UK. It's just outside of Birmingham in the UK. Okay. Yeah.
And the reason I was asking is at some point you guys, I can't, and forgive me for not recalling offhand, but you guys said, we're recording over there in like an old castle. What was that? What record was that?
You know, that's funny. That's a record called The Devil's in the Detail. That's and funny. My bandmates make fun of me because it's really just a old, but super old, actually old big house.
Yeah.
But they laugh and make fun of me because I refer to it as a castle. It's a castle. It looks like a castle to me, but to them, they're just like, this is some old house that we're making this record in. It's like, what? It's like a castle in the middle of nowhere, Scotland. This is amazing. And they still give me a hard time about that, even though we had a wonderful experience there.
So you mentioned Dave Draper, the producer. I know you've worked with him for a while. He's also credited, or at least in my notes, he's credited as playing guitar on this track. The rest of the lineup on the recording is the usual suspects from the Harlequin Ghosts?
Yes. So we have a core group, me, Mickey, who plays drums, and Rob, who plays bass. We've been playing together. We were in a previous band together for, I guess, several years now. I don't even know how many. But when we get into the studio, I guess this started with The Devil's in the Detail. There are the usual suspects that come in and record with us and kind of our go-to studio people.
I was looking at the video for Can I Get an Amen? Are you in front of like a garage door that shut?
I'm literally in front of a garage door that shut.
Right. And and maybe that backdrop is in an earlier video. It seems like you had like a space helmet on. But that all aside, I noticed it said it was directed by Laurie Hamilton. Is that any relation?
That's my mom.
Oh.
So my mom, yeah, she directed it. We had this idea after seeing it was an Arctic Monkeys video. It's like, we should do something. And, you know, talk to the label, and there were some ideas getting thrown around, and just to try something new and different. And my mom, she's going to be so embarrassed, but she's going to be really happy that she got mentioned. She is a fitness instructor, and she had her own videos in the 80s. So she's kind of been around the industry, if you will, a little bit, but never on a big level. But it was just kind of like, look, this is a simple video. Why don't you come help? And she was wonderful. There's nothing like your mom yelling at you during takes of a music video going, that was terrible. That was great. Maybe don't do that. And it was really fun. And what a cool memory, you know, to have to carry forward. Yeah.
Well, that's funny. I remember when I went off to school, to university, and would come back to the house. It was always during spring breaks or whatever, the holidays. Even though technically, you know, I was an adult, there was this sort of weird initially, you know, sort of like the way you go back to your folks, and then it's like, well, okay, I'm going to go out. Oh, you're going to go out, boy? Well, it's kind of late to go out. What are you going out for? And it's like, Dad, you know, I'm like 21 years old. It's okay. You know, so what's your relationship with your parents and stuff? It seems like with your mom, this is pretty great, right? Very supportive.
Yeah, I have an incredible relationship with my parents. They're kind of the exception to the divorce rule. They've been in love and together since they were teenagers. They're just kind of the shining example of what it can be if everything works out just right. And my mom had me when she was 19. She got married when she was 17.
Wow.
So the older I get, you know, that age gap feels less. Mm-hmm. And my dad is the reason I fell in love with music. I used to sit around and listen to records with him, and it became like this contest who could tell who's singing this song and what album is this on. And, you know, that started with the Beatles and, you know, all of those, what you would expect, classic rock, like Rolling Stones, that era of music. And I'm very thankful for my relationship with my parents. They were both, you know, music loving hippies.
You mentioned the Harlequin Ghost Course based overseas in the UK, but last month you did a gig opening up for Jesse Malin there in New York, I think at the Bowery Ballroom. And for that show, you were backed by the Jelly Bricks.
How cool is that? I had the best time with those dudes, and it's a testament to the, you know, family vibe that Wicked Cool Records is to have a fellow, you know, artist on the label, just be like, let's combine forces and do this one show. And those guys did such a phenomenal job just learning the songs, and not just learning the songs, but working out backing vocals and harmonies. And we had just the best time. And that was a magical night. And, you know, it was, I'm pausing because I don't want to name drop, but I have to. Bill Murray was there. So there was a lot of Bill Murray, like, you know, you hear the stories about the things in the movie. I don't know if you've seen the documentary.
I watch it on the airplane. It was great.
Yeah. He just entered the room and everybody kind of went, oh my God, it's going to be a special night tonight. Bill Murray's here.
So I know the Harlequin Ghosts, we mentioned already, they're based overseas in the UK, and I know it's hard to get those guys over here to do shows sometimes. Have you considered just having the Jelly Bricks doing backing you on a series of shows stateside?
I mean, if there was ever a situation where at least Mickey and Rob couldn't make it, and it was like, we got to do these shows, I would love for those guys, you know, to back me up again and go do that. But as you know, a band is like a brotherhood, and Mickey and Rob feel like my brothers. So, I will tour with them every opportunity. If there were circumstances that prevented them from being able to, and the Jelly Bricks and I went out and did it again, it would be a blast, and I'd be fine with that.
Well, next month of February, I saw online that you're doing a series of solo acoustic shows in the UK. I think it's 4 dates. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that they're being filmed for a documentary about you and your former band, Smile, Smile. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the short version of Smile, Smile, and that was the first time I got signed. I was in that band with my fiance, and she cheated on me very publicly. And I wrote these songs intending to make a record on my own about her cheating and look what you did to me. It was very dramatic. This was, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. And those songs ended up becoming an album called Truth on Tape, that Smile, Smile. We stayed in the band together. And she brought the guy she cheated on me with on tour. And we would go out every night and sing these songs about how she cheated together on stage. Some shows we wouldn't even make it through the entire show. It was very emotional. It was very raw. There's a lot of fighting and drinking and, you know, substances around. The story in itself was a big deal in Texas because on the cover of the music paper, it was all, you know, very just crazy, especially to think about it now. And what happened is I found an old box of tapes from back then. And I had had people over the years say, this should be a movie. We want to make a movie. And had always said no until I found these tapes. And there was a tape that said therapy on it. And I was like, oh God, that can't be good. What is this? It's a mini, like mini DV tape. And I put this tape in and it's me right in the middle of this Smile, Smile drama, you know, like it really hitting the fan. And I'm just having a complete breakdown on camera. Like, I don't know what, I have no recollection of it. But it was really upon discovering those tapes that I reached back out to one of the video production companies and said, okay, I think there may be something here. That's where it started. These shows are part of that. The film crew is based in London. So they're going to come along for these 4 shows, which it's the beginning of the filming of the new footage for the story of Smile, Smile. And they'll kind of bring it up to now.
Wow.
It's a lot.
So I got to get back to the single here, because I want us to talk about the B-side to Can I Get an Amen?
Yeah.
So in 2018, you guys did a version of Paula Abdul's Straight Up, and the B-side to Can I Get an Amen is a version of Duran Duran's Ordinary World. So Ordinary World, that came out in like 93, but Duran Duran thought of, you know, as an 80s group primarily, although this song really helped revive their career. So first, let me ask you, musically, are you a child of the 80s?
You know, I would say no. Ironically, I just gravitate towards a certain era of music to cover.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because it feels kind of obscure and like an untapped kind of cover song thing. But I mean, I'm not really an 80s music kid.
Well, I was wondering if you ever felt like musically the 80s get kind of short shrifted as a decade, that whereas, you know, like 90s, 70s, even 60s music is more prevalent in pop culture. And maybe you're addressing that because you said you feel like a lot of that stuff to covers, it just seems a bit more obscure.
Yeah, there's something sonically in the 80s where the technology wasn't quite there, just with keyboards and stuff like that. There are certain sounds that, you know, if they were the raw sounds of the 70s or the more technologically advanced sounds that started happening in the 90s, the quality of the song, and this is just my opinion, might have been better, if that makes any sense. Yeah. So whenever I hear songs from a certain era and their synth or string or keyboard, kind of like that bad electronic keyboard sound that was happening for a while. When I hear that, I go, okay, that would be really cool with a more current sound. Same thing happened with Paula Abdul. An Ordinary World has that thing on the... I guess I just kind of had a light bulb moment. That's what it is about those songs. It's those sounds that I hear and go, that could be better. Not that I, you know, I'm sure I could make a hit song better. I just, sonically, I feel like there's some cool opportunities. I'll say it like that.
So you recorded these 2 tunes. I need to ask you, if there a full-length album forthcoming?
You know, there is, and there. It's been really difficult, and Stevie's been great. I was lucky enough to see him when I was in New York and talk for a little bit. Yeah. There have been a lot of songs. Just, I've been through a lot personally the past 6 months-ish. So trying to whittle it down from, 40 sad bastard songs into, 10 to 15 songs that are good. It's like, okay, these songs are good. These aren't just, important to me. These are good songs. That's been a challenge, but I think we're there. I think we're there. This new single's now out. When I'm in the UK for these four shows, we actually start recording the new album, and I'm thrilled. I didn't think another album would happen this year.
Ryan, thanks again for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Manfred, thank you. Always a blast.
Well, it's B-side time. Let's give Ordinary World a spin. It's Ryan Hamilton and the Harlequin Ghosts and Little Stevens, Underground Garage. That was some of Ordinary World, as performed by Ryan Hamilton and the Harlequin Ghosts. It's a B-side to their latest single, Can I Get an Amen? And available now from Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Ryan for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our segment. And join me again next week when I'll check in with Zuzu Mansour, frontwoman from the Philadelphia-based band Soraya. That's your next week's Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens' Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.